Hello and welcome to the Sports Doctor. I'm Chris Fox, joined by Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist on Trade Street in Aurora. Hello, Dr. Weil.
Hey, Chris. Good to see you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And hello, welcome to the Sports Doctor. We're going to touch on this evening a few different topics. We'll have a few emails if we have time. At the end, we want to definitely continue to talk about the Olympics, various, whether it's the tennis and the Andy Murray a Federer match, whether it's the tremendous women's gymnastics, whether the Michael Phelps, etc. We want to talk, oh my gosh, it's football. Strike me over the head as we speak after our show. It's the Bears and the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning, how's he going to do physically? I'm concerned about that. We'll touch on that. We might mention a blog by one of my colleagues, Dr. Ritchie, how minimalist shoes and barefoot running is building his practice in San Diego. He's been around decades, and we had a lot of hoopla with that article I wrote when they changed the headline from buzz about barefoot running to barefoot running is another fad. And I heard from lots of people. And we might touch on the fact that, a lot of osteoarthritis, wear and tear arthritis that we see as we get older, in our parents or ourselves, our knees, our back, our hips, our feet, our ankles, that the foot mechanics has a lot to do with a lot of it being aggravated, made worse, or perpetuated. So the Olympics, Chris, my gosh, it's almost over. It's been an incredible array of stuff, wouldn't you think?
I've enjoyed the swimming. I've enjoyed the track and field. The basketball's winding down. You mentioned tennis. Serena Williams won gold. She won gold in doubles with her sister Venus.
Fantastic. We talked
to watch.
We talked about for a while in the past week or two whether or not that gold medal, especially in the world of tennis, was as big a deal. We were talking about the fact that Rafa Nadal had backed out. He's probably his knee problems, the same thing that's been giving us some concern after Wimbledon. And that whether or not, hey, look, it's the U.S. Open coming up, a Grand Slam is a much bigger deal than the gold medal. Or is it? I said to you then that this was a different story. If you saw that men's final match with the hoopla, with Great Britain, with Andy Murray, I thought that Federer was a step or two slow, nowhere near on his game, it seemed. And Murray beat him handily.
Beat him soundly in three straight sets. Now, Roger Federer won Wimbledon about
a month before.
Now, if you said, hey, Roger, I got a deal for you. You win Wimbledon and the silver medal, or you win the gold medal but finish second at Wimbledon. He would take the Wimbledon title.
He probably would, if he would have said U.S. Open, he would have taken the gold medal because Wimbledon meant seven times ties Pete Sampras, all these other things. It meant his folklore and history.
But he was going for what Serena got and what Nadal got, the Golden Slam. You
ask
won in your career all four Grand Slams plus the gold
medal. Yes, ask Serena. And fantastic to see Venus and win the gold. Very exciting. Michael Phelps, as good as advertised. You spoke about it before. We really unprecedented performance excellence for this amount of time spanning how many Olympics?
Well, he was in, as a 15-year-old, he was in the Olympics in Sydney in 2000, didn't win any medals, but 2004...
He competed.
He did. 2004, 2008, 2012, 22 medals, 18 of them gold. We talked about this last week. Is he the best Olympian ever? Well, we could have that argument for years. Who knows?
Well, a lot of people might never accept.
No one else has won more medals than him.
People might never accept that a swimmer, regardless of their prowess, could be the greatest Olympian compared to the Jesse Owenses or the Jim Thorpes or some of these decathletes or other types of even NBA athletes. But the amount of medals, the perseverance at the top of the world, competing, winning gold now, like he dominated 4 years ago. He's dominated with all these challenges. Extraordinary. The athleticism of some of the different athletes, I find that extraordinary also, Chris, when you would see, for instance, sports medicine-wise, it's always Achilles tendon ruptures are a problem. Some people never come back a full blast, especially at the highest level of athletics. I found it amazing that this Misty May trainer won half of the three-time Olympic gold medal beach volleyball team with, is it Karen Walsh?
Kerry Walsh.
Kerry Walsh.
Jennings.
Jennings. and
they weren't wearing much in that gold medal match.
They don't, and you know, this is interesting. It's always been that interesting controversy, which is this other side. You know, how come they're not wearing basketball shorts? Why do they think, even in their own rights, maybe they're more comfortable? They don't mind the sexy side of things. The although in a physical sport like volleyball, it's hard to pay any kind of attention to that. But there was Misty May, 35 years old, on the sand, as tough a surface as it is to be athletic, having come back full blast, dancing with the stars a few seasons ago. She tore the Achilles. At that time, I remember wondering, wow, I mean, dance, how could you do it in dance after all these years on the sand? You'd think you'd be virtually impervious to a problem. Then on the sports psychology side, you look at women's gymnastics and the dynamics of the world champion
Jordan Weber,
who,
American.
Yes, no individual medal, a lot of heartache, the incredible story with this Gabby Douglas. Yes, once they started hassling her with or questioning her hairdo, and she had to deal with that, she came back. She wasn't able to win any of the individual event medals.
But she was the all-around champion.
All-around champion, which puts you in Mary Lou Retton territory. Really, really does. With doing some of these skills that, 4 years ago, there was nobody in the world who even dreamt about them. Fascinating to turn it on at any time, Chris, and see the athleticism. And you're listening to The Sports Doctor here on WDCB 90.9 FM. I'm Dr. Bob Weil here with Chris Fox. We've had a lot of great guests over the past couple of months. You want to hear some of the various topics, go to sportsdoctorradio.com and pull up radio shows. We've got 3 years' worth of shows, a lot of articles with The Sports Doctor, and a lot of information regarding kids beating obesity that you can connect with WDCB.org. Go to New Media, and then go to Kids Beating Obesity. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and continue to check out some of the past shows. We always enjoy, Chris and I. I'm here with Chris Fox, sports editor of The Lombardian, talking about what we want to talk about with what's going on. The Bears open preseason, Chris, as we speak this evening, after our show, after the millions who listen to us, tune into the Bears.
Turn over to the Bears.
What do you think? We haven't heard anything negative at all about Peyton Manning physically. Doesn't seem to have missed a beat, this incredible, great champion, multiple-time MVP. The sports doctor, I have concern over him getting hit and hit hard with this multiple neck surgeries. What are you thinking?
Well, he's 36 years old.
Is he that old?
36 years old. He didn't play at all last year. I did see this Stefania Bell, this medical expert for ESPN. She was at the Denver Broncos camp, and she said, you know, you can't really tell much
from
camp.
She's a physical therapist.
Right, yes. But she saw him throwing the ball, and he looked okay, but 36 years old, didn't play at all last year.
You could
throw neck operations. It's a question mark.
You could throw the ball 165 yards, feel great. My shoulder, my neck feels great. I'm asking what happens when we get hit, tackled, and creamed a few times. That's my concern, not whether he would be able to functionally come back and throw a ball. I thought he had a very, very good chance. We're rooting for him. There's a lot of excitement here, Chris, with the Bears. A lot of excitement. They seem to be as talented as they've been in a long time. Jay Cutler, congratulations, Jay. You're the proud dad, a new baby boy. Very exciting. I think it was yesterday or the day before. You know, you'd think they'd give some of these athletes a day or two off to enjoy. He'll be out there. They're loaded. I'm concerned about Brian Urlacher with this nagging re-aggravation of this knee. How old is Brian?
He's up there. He's been around. I'll get that to you in a minute.
Yeah. I think he's 33, maybe 34. So, a lot of talent with the Bears, a lot of excitement. It seems that kind of, does anybody remember that the White Sox are still battling for a pennant?
Sure. Urlacher is 34 years old.
Okay, I was right. And we start becoming concerned about the ability to bounce back from what many times is just wear and tear and multiple problems. We talked about that with the Matt Forte when we talked about the Bears signing him for an extended amount of time. It's always iffy in something like football, to say the least. If I'm the Bears, I'm saying, like, and I think they're doing this, which is relax. Nobody's in a hurry. Urlach is not going to forget how to play his position at the top of the game. And we just can't play around, you know, because, again, the preseason games, guys are trying to make the team. People are trying to impress. It's big, 60,000 fans. Like the All-Star game in football, you can't play NFL football at 50%.
You're talking about the Pro Bowl, which some people want just discontinued.
Yeah, well, almost you'd say because there's a risk of injury. I mean, football is nuts. It just really, really is. So
this happens every year. Do you play your stars, your starters, one half? Do you play them one quarter? Is there some unwritten agreement between the teams? You know, we're not going to come after your quarterback in the preseason.
You know, and one of the things that's also is a story that hit us between the eyes in football. You have Andy Reid, really the great, the popular coach of the Eagles. His son found dead in his dorm room. Nobody knows exactly what, where, when. Terrible, terrible. Man comes back on the job a couple days later. Everybody talks about how, my gosh, it's probably so therapeutic. You try to get back with your teammates and the support and the players. It's difficult. There's always something going on which tests the mental toughness and mental acuity of these players or coaches or parents. Whether it's the Olympics, you're watching some of the parents in the stands. It's incredible.
Can I get back to the Olympics for a second?
You can.
We talk about what we see and what gets our attention. I know Missy Franklin, the 17-year-old swimmer, is one of the big stars. 17 years old. She's about to begin her senior year in high school. She won 4 gold medals and 1 bronze. And I saw a 15-year-old of the 500-plus Americans at the Olympics participating. Katie Ledecky, 15 years old, the youngest in our delegation, wins the gold medal in the 800 meters. And I don't say this critically. I just say it because it's so remarkable that the best swimmer in the world, not just our country, Australia, Europe, China, all the great swimmers out there, the best, the number one in the world, 15 years old, 17 years old in Missy Franklin's case. Isn't that insane?
Tara Lipinski was a world champion figure skater. I think it's 16. You know, Tracy Austin, number one in the world, 16, 17.
Gymnastics, it seems like if you're 18, you're washed
and
up.
And you have to take a step back and really, really think about what you just said, which is number one, wow, is that feasible? Is that possible? I guess it is. There they are. And number two, what it takes, how early. And these kinds of, you know, now again, it's one of the great parts of the Olympics. You hear so many of these backstories, so many of these great stories. And again, sometimes you go back to the question we've asked on the Sports Doctor, which is, you know, what's tougher, becoming an Olympian or a professional athlete? You sure don't see a professional athlete at 15 or 16 or 17, but you might see again at 17, Boris Becker won Wimbledon. I guess that's professional, isn't it? So,
and that was very rare. I mean, that was 1985, and we still remember.
And it's remarkable. We've seen a few of the world champion, I don't know where they stacked up medal-wise, in diving, which is like gymnastics. It's twice as acrobatic. It just is incredible. And again, 19 years old, 16-year-old Chinese diver. So it's not for everybody, the road to becoming a great champion. It isn't for everybody the road to become a great chess player or violinist or a young opera star when we talk about these kinds of dedications. So it'll be interesting to see.
Let me throw a wild question out at you. You know, we talk about Federer. Would you rather win the gold? Would you rather win Wimbledon? Would you rather have this brilliant but short career? And think of Sandy Koufax, who was brilliant for maybe 5-6 years, just unbelievable. Or would you rather have this 20-year career of excellence? If you had to pick.
I think I would look at second one, which is the longer-term career. You know, there have been a couple of studies along those lines of what you're asking, which was an athlete who might have been asked that question, an Olympian. You know, would you have shortened your life? This came around the drug controversy and discussions. Would you have done this or done that? Would you, knowing what you know now as a football player, where you don't have any joints left, would you continue? Would you have done that? And the answer almost always has been yes. Yes, I would have. Yes, I would have sacrificed. So the former, which is this incredible shorter career, you know, whether it was a Koufax, whether it was a Tracy Austin, when you would think about it, you know, some of the shortened Andrea Jaeger, you know, great players maybe in tennis who didn't last. What do you think?
It's hard to say. I like the length. I'm starting to appreciate the length, not knocking the few years of brilliance. But when you see, like you mentioned, the beach volleyball players, gold medals in 04, 08, 12. Michael Phelps, 22 medals total. He was a world-class gold medal winner in three straight Olympics. That's yes. Pretty incredible.
Well, plus as you're growing up and you are maturing and you then have all sorts of distractions. He's been a superstar for a decade, this guy.
And he's only 27. Exactly. He's retired.
So he's already, you know, you know, this guy will never come back. He doesn't have the attitude anymore. And, you know, he's doing this. He's dating an actress. He's doing that. And here he comes. You know, it was in the Olympic trials. Gee, this other guy, you know, Lochte is, you know, it's his time and all of these other things. To recapture the physical capability, number one, that kind of mental focus, number two, it's going to be exciting. You know, I know a lot of it's going to be exciting to see how Evan Lysacek handles this same kind of challenge. Can he do it?
Will he do it? We don't even know.
Well, now he's ready. Yes, will he try? Will he try? It seems that absolutely he's going to. But to sit back and say I think Michael Phelps said there was a 5-year period. He never missed one day of practice. You know, and you think about the burnout. You think about the physical. You have any shoulders left? All the shoulder problems with these swimmers. So the absolute superstars, as everybody marvels, you got to think the same way. It's interesting, you know, not a heck of a lot of attention. We wanted to touch on the men's basketball, you know, when there was the discussion constantly whether it was the dream team and it was the new team and who would win, who might win. LeBron James had a great comment. He said, hey, man, we're all competitors. You know, I'm not saying we were a better team, but I sure think as heck we could have beaten them on a given time. And they seem to be at the top of their game. Boy, there's a lot of great teams around the world that we forget about.
They had a very close game with Lithuania. You don't think of them as a real threat, but they were very close.
They have five, six NBA players.
Australia gave them a good game for a while. Now they play Argentina again, who they did blow out, but you never know. And then they might meet Spain or Russia for the gold medal. They do have a way of turning it on. I know you haven't seen much, and I haven't seen much of them live, but LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, yes. Kevin Durant, they can just hit threes, and their defense is tough. To beat.
And you have, what's his name from the Knicks?
Carmelo Anthony. He's done some damage.
One superstar. What's interesting is these guys are in their prime. I guess we forgot back in 92, really. You know, who was Magic Johnson, you know, really wasn't. Larry Bird really wasn't. The other guys were. I think Barkley was. Of course, Michael.
Scottie Pippen. Carl Malone. Yes. Clyde Drexler. David Robinson.
Just a great argument on who would do and who would do what.
You know, you mentioned Evan Lysacek, and he was a world champion, and all these other great athletes, Michael Phelps and the gymnasts. Those sports all have world championships, track and field, figure skating, swimming, gymnastics. But how much bigger is the microscope of the Olympics? In other words, you kind of pay attention to these world championships, but the Olympics, what is it, 10 times bigger?
You know, it's funny. When Evan talked about that, we were laughing about, he was a champion ever since he was a youngster, but of course he was a two-time national champion, big deal, a bronze medalist at Worlds, and then he won the Worlds. Even bigger deal, but the Olympic gold medal, maybe 50 times, not 10 times bigger. You are a superstar in so many ways that is quite unique. This multiple medal winning of something that's capable in gymnastics and or swimming is a whole other type of phenomenon. Where you see, and again, you talk about great athletes, the ability to swim all these different kinds of strokes, the ability to have 20 minutes in between. They did it in track and field also.
between maybe a preliminary and a final.
Yes.
Maybe they have a little more time, but you might do a relay and then come back into an individual race.
Sports psychology, Usain Bolt, who blew the world away in Beijing. I didn't realize, though, his fastest time, his world record time, wasn't at the Olympics.
It was at a world championship.
It was a world championship. So he didn't beat that in the Olympics this time. He ran the second fastest time in the world.
I think it was 0.04 of a second slower, but 9.63. You know, it's been about 40 years since the elites started going under the 10-second mark. And now 9.63 seconds for 100 meters.
The great 100 meter specialist then went to the Dallas Cowboys.
Bob Hayes.
He was a 10-second, 9.95. Soon you'll see the women running those kinds of times. So the constant improvement, you wonder where it ends, is remarkable. And we add at younger and younger ages, which is sometimes even more remarkable when you're talking about something like the Olympics. We're going to miss it. It'll be over in the next few days. I think we'll see maybe a world record in the decathlon, sometimes crowned as the world's greatest athlete. With an American on his presence. It'll be
Ashton Eaton and this Trey Hardy. It's two Americans as we speak.
And what a battle. What a battle for the medal count. You got China and the United States is finally, as we speak, just superseded them. Very, very close. Remember those battles? Soviet Union and the Americans? Exciting stuff. I wanted to mention a recent study or two talking about osteo or wear and tear arthritis. Which is one of the plagues of getting a little bit older, especially here in America, besides the obesity, being heavier, not eating well, having all of these other kinds of problems. And the biggest popularity now is joint replacement. Replace your knees, replace your hips, replace ankles, big toe joint. And we want to tell people that some of these recent studies, I agree with them totally. Excessive pronation, foot mechanics, very alignment, knock knees, flat feet, very related to, if not causing, and we don't know what causes it. We don't have a time machine. Can't go back 25 years with a 60-year-old and find out if we threw inserts in their shoes and orthotics whether it would make a difference. But there's all sorts of empirical evidence that mechanics and foot mechanics have a lot to do. So I want to throw this again out to a lot of our listeners. If you or your relatives, you or your parents or your kids have persistent lower extremity joint problems, if in our older years you got all sorts of arthritis, being in the proper shoes, the mechanics of orthotic devices, very, very, very helpful. Pay attention to that. Along that same line, I want to mention a blog. One of my colleagues, Dr. Doug Ritchie, very famous sports podiatrist out in the West Coast, writes a blog for Podiatry Today. He invented the Ritchie brace, which is a mechanical marvel for people who have ankle and tendon dysfunction. Called the Ritchie Brace, and his latest blog called Minimalist Shoes Are a Boon to My Practice. He was talking about having practiced sports podiatry since the 80s and how many more patients he was seeing with foot problems because of this hoopla over either barefoot running or running with much, much less shoe support than maybe over the years we have recommended, and I got a lot of feedback with my articles along those lines. But Dr. Ritchie was talking about seeing a lot more foot problems, heel trouble, plantar fasciitis arch problems, ball of the foot metatarsal problems, stress fractures, as more and more of his patient population was going towards the hoopla of the minimal, less is better shoes. So if you find yourself in that category, pay attention. There's right now, again, no real evidence that less is better by any means. If anything, like Dr. Ritchie says, we might be seeing more trouble than we bargained for.
In the past, you haven't criticized minimalist running or these barefoot running or these minimalist shoes. You're just saying there could be a link.
Well, I would go as far as to saying criticizing, assuming that the more we go towards the barefoot gait criteria, the better that human runner is. I think it's a mistake to even come close to that. We've always said that if you want to add some barefoot strengthening the muscles of the feet themselves exercises, rubber bands, working on sand, working with unstable surfaces like BOSU boards, and working with mini trams barefoot, strengthening these muscles make a lot of sense, assuming you're more efficient, assuming you're going to have less injury tendency running barefoot or with much less of a shoe. Whoa. There we got to get very subjective. There we have to pay attention because I think we're looking for problems. We have a couple of minutes for a few emails.
Sure.
Stephanie from Hinsdale. She says, I love tennis. I've been dealing with this Morton's neuroma. What are my options? What is Morton's neuroma? Morton's neuroma is a thickening of one of the nerves of the foot, one of the particular connections between the third and fourth toe in the ball of the foot. When that connection gets thickened, it starts to almost develop a tumor-like growth. It's not a malignant tumor. It's a thickening, a fattening, and that nerve starts getting in the way. We get numbness. We get cramps. We get shooting pains to the toes. And we used to think, Stephanie, that the only cure to that was minor surgery. Remove that piece of nerve. I don't believe that anymore. We've had great success with orthotics. Sometimes we see that changing the mechanics of the foot, very, very helpful. Sometimes an injection of homeopathic medicine and or possibly cortisone can solve the problem, maybe physical therapy. So we need to take a look at the foot type. We need to talk about the kinds of shoes you're in. There are a lot of conservative options, starting with orthotics, for Morton's neuroma. Give us a call on that. John in Wheaton. He wants to know, what's your take on Little League World Series coverage?
Wow.
What do you think about that, Chris?
You usually have questions about health, about injuries.
You think it's exploitive, he asked.
We've talked about this before. I'm thinking of myself as a 12-year-old kid. If I was playing Little
Fantastic
League.
Fantastic stuff.
And my team won this game and that level and that tournament and made it to the point where we got to the World Series and were on TV. It's okay.
I haven't seen
stories criticizing the pitching of the 12-year-olds or
well,
the hitting.
Well, I think, you know, as you have commentators and you have almost professional-like commentators and the pressures of trying to play or push through injuries or maybe push the professionalism of everything on young kids, I've heard that criticism. I think it's a valid one. At the same time, I think, I remember as a 12-year-old, 11-year-old, Little League was a big deal where I grew up, Massapequa, New York, on Long Island. We got as far as a state semifinals in the Little League World Series scheme of things. What a big deal that was.
And it didn't scar you for life?
No, it didn't. I can't sleep over that loss. But at the same time, I think it's worth the discussion. It kind of goes along maybe with the discussion, Chris, that you are seeing surgeries on Little League elbow and other kinds of things being done because of the extreme pressure of pushing these kids. It's nowhere near Olympic pushing, so maybe we got to get a little bit more backing off, getting so crazy with being worried about overexposure.
I think to have the coverage at that level is okay for, you know, several days out of the year. When we start having on cable TV, you know, Glen Ellyn Little League or Wheaton
yes.
Little League, maybe then it's out of control.
Great
that might
question.
Be coming one day.
Yes, great question. You know, again, you're still throwing too many curveballs, you know, too early, too young, and yet they're out there and the pressure is on. But it is an exciting, good few weeks of stuff.
Well, you still remember when
Aren't
you were
they still
a kid,
recruiting 7th and 8th graders in basketball, right?
Yeah, you still remember, and I remember.
Yes.
We never really got that close, but we were, you know, one win away from the regional, and if we won the regional, you have that hope. These millions of kids
yes.
have that hope they could be the team.
Boy, oh boy. Rockville Center, that was the place that had this field of dreams. That was the field that had fences. You could actually hit it over the fence for a home run.
Wow.
Little nostalgia. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, we're out of time this week. All the shows from the last 3 years are at sportsdoctorradio.com. That's sportsdoctorradio.com. Send Dr. Weil an email at drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. That's drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. For the Kids Beating Obesity podcast, go to wdcb.org, wdcb.org. Click on New Media. That will take you to the Kids Beating Obesity podcast. Dr. Weil, see you next week.
Chris, good to see you. Go USA. Hey, go Bears. Let's see what happens. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Chris Fox. Thanks for listening. Please tune in next week to another edition of The Sports Doctor.